This show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And it's all choral music on our program today. Coming up, we'll be talking with the director of a group of young people, grades 3 through 6, who are called the Singing Redbirds. They're part of the Community Music School at Illinois State University, and they're giving a concert tomorrow night on the ISU campus in Normal. I'll be talking with their director later in the hour. First, though, I'll be talking with Julie Beiler, who is director of the Chorale, which will be giving a concert in Champaign Sunday night under the guest baton of Craig Jessup, who is actually returning for his 4th guest visit with the Chorale. He's formerly of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, a former director of that ensemble, and both of them will be in our studio joining us very shortly, or rather, Dr. Jessup joining us remotely, Julie Beiler in the studio. Stay tuned for that conversation here on Live and Local in a matter of moments. It was a beautiful arrangement of a familiar melody, Wayfaring Stranger, arrangement made by Mack Wilberg. It's an American folk hymn. And it comes from the CD called Peace Like a River by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They're joined by the orchestra at Temple Square, and they were conducted in this performance, this recording, by Craig Jessup, who, as that suggestion implies, was at one time for quite a while the music director of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. He is making a return appearance as a guest conductor with the Chorale, a choir, community choir based in Champaign, Urbana. And they are giving a concert on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at McKinley Presbyterian Church on South 5th Street in Champaign. It's their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert. They're calling it this year an American Connection. The music director for the Chorale, the artistic director, is Julie Beiler. And we have both Ms. Beiler and Dr. Jessup with us on the program. Julie is sitting across from me in the studio, and I believe we have Dr. Jessup on the phone. Are you there, sir?
Yes, indeed, and I'm honored to be here.
Well, thank you much, very much for joining us, and thank you, Julie, for engineering this this conversation. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Kevin.
Actually, Mike Pritchard is engineering it, but you engineered it's happening.
Yes.
You know, two different ways of saying that. So, Dr. Jessup, I have to ask you, what made you willing to come back for a 4th time to work with the Chorale? You must have had some pretty good experiences with them.
Well, I've had awesome experiences. It's really Julie who's made all of this possible. She's impossible to say no to. Julie's wonderful, gracious, warm hospitality, and the wonderful singers that she has. Every time I've come, it's easy to come back because they are such talented, great people, and they do it for the love and for the inspiration of singing. So I'm very honored to return.
I might add that I unknowingly, but maybe now not so unknowingly, have always asked Craig if he wouldn't come back, and in a public place, imagine that, when it makes it a little more difficult for him to say no. So why should I stop now?
Well, I guess engineering might really be the right term in that case.
Might be.
For engineering not only this conversation, but also return appearances by Craig Jessup with the Chorale. We just heard this recording, of course, of the Mormon Tabernacle Choirs made several years ago. And it's been a few years since you've been with the choir, 2008, I guess your last year, after about 13 years.
That's correct.
What made you decide to stop after? All that long a time, really.
No, not all that long of time. And yet I had had a wonderful ride with it. Prior to that, I had 20 years in the United States Air Force music program. And I had always felt, and I started my career out as a teacher, and I wanted to go into education, and this is my season of giving back. And I have to say, I'm loving it. I'm dean of the King College of the Arts at Utah State University, which is my alma mater and the place where I grew up. And I'm loving my experience with these young people, and I have a lifetime of experience to give back to them while I'm still young enough and healthy enough to share this. So I feel blessed in every way. Every chapter of life has been a gift to me.
So as dean, do you get to do some teaching?
I do indeed. I teach one of the big choirs. I wanted very much to keep, we have four choirs in our Department of Music, and I have the large community town and gown choir. You can take it for credit. And we've had quite, this is my fourth year doing that. This past year we did the Benjamin Britten War Requiem. We just finished a performance of the Messiah, an evening of gospel. And then I just did a St. John Passion of Bach on Good Friday. So it's been a big full year of making music. I have to keep singing. That's really one of the joys of life.
Tell me a little bit about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I guess I don't know the makeup of it. Is it an auditioned ensemble? Is it a community choir? Is it a combination?
It's a church choir. It's sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's auditioned. It's very highly auditioned. It's one of the larger choirs in the nation, 360. You have to be a minimum of 25 years of age, and you have to be in the choir before you're 55. You can sing in the choir 20 years or till the age of 60. At that time, you must retire. You have to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, recommended by your bishop. You have to live within 100 miles of Salt Lake City, because we have people that would fly in twice a week if they could to sing in the choir. Once you are auditioned and accepted into the choir, you have to attend a three-month training school, the choir school, and sing in the Temple Square Chorale. From the time you audition to the time you would get into the choir would take about 9 months. And I would say roughly 10% who audition actually make it into the Tabernacle Choir. It's very coveted and very prestigious.
Wow. Well, I guess those are a lot of criteria to be in an organization. The gist of my question was curious to find out some of the similarities or not similarities between an ensemble such as that, aside from the sheer size of it, versus the one you're working with now at Utah State, versus the chorale, which is a community choir, but also auditioned?
Not auditioned. Not at all. We began almost 30 years ago, as I've said frequently, as a small Christmas caroling unit for the Main Street merchants in Mahomet. And it was to be a two-day affair, and then it was to be over. And somehow we're still sitting here
30 years later,
getting ready
talking
to beginning
it.
Our 30th season. Yes, I wanted to say, in addition to the fact that I ask Craig back because I want him back, it is really our singers. We've had other clinicians and have good experiences with all of them. But I don't know, Craig comes and leaves behind something that always makes us better. And the response to him and to his gracious yet demanding and perseverance in a rehearsal situation makes my singers really say to me, and so when is Craig coming back?
Well, I wonder if he's given some hints as to the combination of interests and talents that maybe makes him so appealing to your group, because you said up front, Craig, that you really like to teach, that you were trained as a teacher and you have come back to teaching and you really want to give back, but you've also got experience with highly trained voices and highly auditioned voices as well in an organization like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And I would imagine that the combination of those skills on your part may make you especially appealing to a group like Julie's. And I wonder how you see yourself combining those talents and how you adapt your own work to a group like the Chorale, coming from a group like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Really, I don't change a thing. I approach the music making the same as I would if it were a professional choir like the U.S. Air Force Singing Sergeants that I was the director of for many years, or the Tabernacle Choir, or the Chorale. The principles are exactly the same. And I think you'd find my approach exactly the same. I want to say something about Julie's choir. The first year I came, I was absolutely blown away when I found out this was a non-audition choir. They're amazing. I am so proud of her providing an opportunity for anyone who wants to come and sing to come and sing. And its level is higher than many audition choirs out there. She has done an amazing job. Julie is a singer and a voice teacher. She understands the human voice, and their sound is glorious. So I really salute Julie for what she has done and the labor of love that she has given to your community for 30 years in producing the Chorale. You have something to be really proud of there.
Well, I mean, she sort of looked at me, you know, and I said, audition, not audition? Like, I've told you this, I don't know how many times before, but I keep forgetting because it does sound so good.
And exactly.
You know, so I'll probably ask you again, Julie, next time you're here.
Well,
and don't give me that look.
It's
to your credit.
It is with some pride that I do say that. I honestly have to say that there are times, rehearsal times, when I revisit that issue and think, oh, don't I wish that I had. But not
don't
really.
Don't we all, those of us who work with choirs.
Yeah, not really, because it is, I think, some of the greatest satisfaction that I get when the singers themselves realize after a session with Craig or after when we do something particularly wonderfully well, and they just have that, the musical experience of how can that be? And I certainly couldn't have done this by myself. So it's really about wanting to be a singer in a greater ensemble to make sounds that would not otherwise be possible. I also want to say that this concert and the last one that Craig was at is our Young Artist Scholarship Concert. And so I think it has that element of supporting young musicians as they go on to further their studies at the university level. And in an attempt to thank Craig for his continuing presence in our community last time he was here, we named one of our scholarships in his name. And he's going to present one of those to one of our scholarship winners. And I remember when he first went to Utah, one of the first things that he did was to begin to raise money to support young students out there in Utah. And so I think there's a great deal of commonality in the mission idea behind it.
Well, and to be the recipient, to have a scholarship named after me, just absolutely is one of the greatest honors I've ever been given, because it's all about helping the next generation, training our young people and providing them with opportunities the way that I had when I was a young man. It's a wonderful season of life, and they've honored me so tremendously by giving me this chance to share in continuing the singing of choral music.
Well, we will talk about this year's winners of the Young Artist competition that they have every year in a few minutes. I want to play a little bit of the chorale itself in a piece by a composer who will be on their concert. This piece is not in the concert, but it's an American composer named Stephen Paulus. Tell us a little about the piece we're going to hear right now.
The piece you're going to hear is a pilgrim's hymn. And whenever I introduce a new American composer, there's this kind of wave of unsettledness that goes through the choir, thinking that it will perhaps be dissonant or unpleasant or unfamiliar, but they soon found that the music of Stephen Paulus is extremely appealing and very singable. And this particular one, as it happens, I heard the Mormon Tabernacle do it after I had already chosen it. It's very, it's a cappella, and it's very hymn-like. And just the words are just spectacular words. It's a wonderful setting.
Music by Stephen Paulus, sung by the Chorale under the direction of Julie Byler. They are going to be giving their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert called An American Connection with guest conductor Craig Jessup this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Called Pilgrim's Hymn by Stephen Paulus, a performance by the Chorale, who were in that recording, that live performance, from just this past November, their Celebration of Life concert conducted by Julie Byler, who's the artistic director for the organization and, of course, will be leading at least part of the program on Sunday evening at McKinley Presbyterian Church. Speaking of choral ensembles, programs on WYLL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts presenting Chanticleer, an orchestra of voices from countertenor to bass, performing Renaissance to jazz, gospel to new music on Thursday, April 26th. More information is available at krannertcenter.com or 217-333-6280. There will be music by Stephen Paulus on Sunday night's concert by the Chorale. And Julie, I understand you're conducting the first couple of pieces on the program, and then Craig Jessup, who's guest conducting, will do the rest. Which of you is leading the other Stephen Paulus piece, and what is it?
The other Stephen Paulus piece is The Road Home, and I'm happy to be having Craig do that one. Again, it's wonderfully sonorous, and the poetry is just magnificent. It begins, "Tell me where is the road I can call my own, that I left, that I lost so long ago. All these years I have wandered. Oh, when will I know there's a way and there's a road that will lead me home?" Just lovely text. So Craig will get to do that one.
Craig Jessup is with us here on the phone from, I assume you're sitting in Utah somewhere?
I am. I'm here in Logan, Utah.
And Julie mentioned earlier that sometimes there's a shiver goes down the collective spine of the chorale when she threatens them with contemporary American choral music. But there is so much non-threatening contemporary American choral music, and you have to have done an awful lot of it, I would think, and I'm guessing including some premieres and so on.
I have indeed. In fact, this program is an all-American program. And will feature one of the great, one of the greatest American choral composers, Randall Thompson, and we'll be doing his Frostiana, Seven Country Poems of Robert Frost, with music of Randall Thompson. It was for the 250th anniversary of the establishment of the town of Amherst, Massachusetts, and it is a charming, wonderful piece. We'll do it with a small orchestra as well.
What are some of the, just out of curiosity, who are some of the other contemporary American composers writing choral music that you have come to especially admire?
Well, probably one of the biggest, most famous right now is Eric Whitaker. He is astounding and has an international fame. And it's primarily a cappella choral music, but it's really quite remarkable. It's challenging, but yet it's accessible at the same time. And then through the years, Stephen Paulus as well. I've loved the work of Norman Delajoyo, Howard Hanson, Leonard Bernstein, Aaron Copland, Samuel Barber. It could go on and on and on.
And this Eric Whitaker piece that we'll be doing is his Lux Orumque. I don't know if you've ever visited his virtual choir on the web, but it's really kind of fascinating. He introduced this concept of conducting a certain piece and then allowing people from all over the country, individuals, to, like we have today, have headphones on and to watch his conducting and listen to the music and sing their part individually, submit it as an audition, and then he's put together all of it. So when the drapes open and you see the virtual choir, you see the heads of each individual that has been chosen, and that's really taken hold and made him, made him quite even more popular, I think, amongst the younger.
I'm going to have to check that out. I have not heard of that.
Oh, it's a must. It's so unique. If I had known about it, I would have phoned my part in too.
Right, me too.
Well, yeah, that's a different way to go, isn't it? Speaking of auditioned ensembles, well, and also speaking of auditions, the annual Young Artist Scholarship Competition that the Chorale sponsors happened this year. When, Julie?
The auditions were May 30th.
March.
I'm sorry. One
of those M months.
March 30th. We send the applications out in January and hope that the students will get their materials in, and as usual, it was just a last-minute affair. They have a lot of things going on, these kids. They're auditioning for various colleges and visiting and so forth. But we chose three full scholarship winners and one partial scholarship winner. These auditions, they play or sing or perform, and then we have a little short, what I like to call informal, although it may make them nervous, conversation. It gives us a chance to know a little bit about them as people, what their other interests are, what their hopes and dreams are, because, as you know, you can have hopes and dreams, which you must have in order to be able to pursue anything, but you can tell the passion behind them, and you can tell the depth of their music experience and what it is that they hope to do in the future. And the whole purpose of this scholarship is, as Craig said, to pass on to another generation of folks the ability and the desire to continue the cycle of music, because sometimes in these years of my life, I have noticed, and I must say been appalled, at some of the things that we knew and learned as young people are not now in vogue, if you will. And so we hope that they'll go into communities after they've finished their education and establish organizations like the chorale or any other musical organizations where community members can participate. So we have a good time with our interviews and learn some more things that we didn't get from an audition.
And your three, go ahead.
If I may say, besides the first-rate musical organization that Julie does, to extend it and this kind of outreach, educational outreach, I think is such a wonderful statement on what their values and what their purpose is. It's not just getting together to sing. They're really about investing into their community and assuring this art form is perpetuated. I applaud them so much. I'm so honored to be a part of this.
The winners, as you said, there are three full scholarship and then one partial scholarship. Two of them are performing in this concert, and two will perform on subsequent concerts.
Yes, because of time constraints, we obviously can't have them all perform, but we've chosen four, and one is Caitlin Caruso Dobbs. What a name for a singer, wouldn't you think, mm-hmm. Caitlin Caruso? And she's well known here in the community because as a very young girl, maybe 13, she began working with Dan Perino, who is not a voice teacher and made no attempts to deal with anything fundamentally technical about her voice. Her mother's a voice teacher, by the way. But Dan has this absolute understanding of what it is to perform and how to give these young people the presence and the poise and to present programs. She has done several on the mezzanine at Krannert by herself and handled a whole hour of singing standards and classical things. She can take the Judy Garland things and the classical things and just make them her own. So she's developed a style that has made her very popular here in Champaign-Urbana as a performing entertainer. And then our pianist is Kathy Q, and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's a Uni High student. That's the University of Illinois Laboratory School student. And she will be playing the first movement of the Rachmaninoff First Piano Concerto. She is powerful. She has the hands and the fingers that really command the keyboard. Caitlin, I should say, I'm thinking about this, has been accepted already at New York University, their music theater program. And Kathy, our pianist, and those are the two who will perform this Sunday, has chosen the U of I. She has also a strong interest in engineering, so she's going to combine her music performance with some engineering courses and obviously some late hours of studying, if you ask me.
Yeah, I would think so.
And then from Mahomet Seymour, which is where I live, just a few miles northwest of here, and we haven't had a candidate from Mahomet Seymour in a long time, is Sydney McGeff. She is a vocal student. She sings in Mahomet madrigals, and I think those of us who know Muhammad's music program know that that takes a high level of skill. And after her audition, I brought her to the piano and just couldn't resist working about maybe not more than 2 minutes with her. And you can just tell whether there's that quality that is ready to be taken into some caring, loving hands and nurtured. And she has a wonderful instrument with which to begin studying. She's going to ISU because she wants to enter in the music education field. And then for an honorable mention award, we chose Crofton Coleman, who you may recognize the name as being Barrington Coleman's son and Cynthia Heyman at the university. And
Barrington was just on the show, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, I guess? Yesterday, I think, yeah.
Yes, and Crofton is a very young, male singers, I think, are, flower later in life. But he has this wonderful, smooth baritone voice and is basically, I think, interested in bringing back and perpetuating somewhat like Michael Bublé has done with American classics and standards, and also very intelligently has chosen to study about the business of music making so that he will hopefully have some income while he's waiting.
Now, that's spoken like a true mother.
Oh, that's spoken. That's true. I suppose you could say that's true.
Craig, do you have kids?
We have 4 children, 6 grandsons, and number 7 grandson is on the way.
And any of them end up in music in any way?
Not as a professional. No, we've got a doctor and a teacher and 2 full-time moms, both with college degrees, and they all participated in music. They sang in their all-state choirs and their university choirs and orchestras, but none of them chose a profession.
They all took the easy way out then.
they wanted to eat.
It's a very difficult life, and I always tell
my
musicians when they audition, have a plan B, because the world is full of aspiring, talented. It's an incredible amount of talent that's out there. So you have to... Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
No, I agree with every word you're saying. Have a backup plan.
Right.
Although the other argument to that is that if you have a talent, you know you have the talent, and you know it's what you want to do, give it everything you got, because it's the only chance you'll have when you're that young.
True enough, but you know Elizabeth Treat, Amy Treat. She was our 1995 winner, and she went on to Westminster Choir College, graduated there, moved to New York, absolutely determined to make it, got herself an apartment in Harlem, found herself a coach, and found herself a job. Now, her job is the one that I wouldn't want because it starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and goes until 1 in the morning or something. But it gives her the daytime then to work with her coach and to go to auditions and to have her own time for singing. And she has just now, within the last 2 years, begun to sing with, I'll call it, an off-Broadway opera company, the Amore Opera Company in New York. And she's done Queen of the Night, and now she's kind of beginning to look at the part of her voice that I thought lacked some attention, and that was the Susanna, the Mozart Susanna voice. And so she's sung that role, too. So she's kind of doing what I think is a difficult thing to do, but smart. She's making an income and making it possible for her during the day to pursue everything she can musically.
Yes.
If I ever have a student come to me and say, Dr. Jessup, should I major in music? I always say, if you have to ask, definitely not. You only go into music as a profession if you are absolutely driven and there's nothing else you possibly want to do, because it really takes that kind of commitment to really make it as a profession.
Boy, is that not the truth.
Lots of sacrifices have to be made. I remember being told when I was a junior in college, well, you should make your decision now. And back then, and I won't tell you when, it was not like today when you can think about having a family and children and having them follow you around and travel. And so being the daughter of a music teacher, I chose the stay-at-home path and... it's just tough. The on-the-road life is very difficult.
As we find out from many guests who are on this show, the number of singer-songwriters that come through who literally live out of their car, you know, exactly. So many times. But that's a whole other conversation.
Well, we do have some students that are making it. I mean, Tom Siders, trumpet player a few years ago, mm-hmm. is playing with the Boston Symphony. And so there are Leslie Eldridge is on the wind faculty at Idaho State. And Adelaide Muir is concertizing and teaching at University in Virginia. So a lot of them have combined those things with the performance, like a lot of faculty here at the U of I do.
Right. Well, let's hear another performance by the Chorale. We are talking about a concert by the Chorale, who are giving their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert. Sunday night at 7 o'clock at McKinley Presbyterian Church, Julie Weiler, our artistic director, will lead the first couple of pieces on the program and then turn the rest of it over, in addition to the two performances by two of the scholarship winners, to Dr. Craig Jessup, who is guest conducting the rest of that concert. Here's a performance also from last November, their Celebration of Life concert, which is called Our Spiritual Connection. And this is, in fact, an African-American spiritual arrangement by Undine S. Moore. And I remember singing this one when I was in high school glee club. Daniel, Daniel, Servant of the Lord. Julie Byler's conducting here on Live and Local. Daniel, Daniel, Servant of the Lord, sung by the Chorale last November in their spiritual Celebration of Life concert, Spiritual Connection, the name of the program, and the Julie Byler, the conductor and artistic director of that performance. She will be leading the choir and part of their concert Sunday night at 7 o'clock. It's a free program, their annual Young Artist Scholarship Concert. They do solicit funds for the scholarship, and it starts at 7 McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. And I should just have a moment to mention that their Craig Jessup, who is guest conducting them, he's going to be in for the whole weekend to participate in their annual choral festival. So there's lots of folks coming in to join more than just the regular members of the chorale, and then I guess we'll be joining on that concert.
Yes, we have not lots, but we're constricted
some,
with space. Yes,
sure.
About 20 extra people coming, some a fellow from Virginia that we happen to know through a former association with the Virginia Choir that also went with the chorale out to Utah for a week. Craig invited us out to work with them out there and sing with the American Festival Chorus. It was a wonderful experience. So we have people coming from around who don't always have every Sunday night to give to rehearsals.
So a deep and deepening connection between the chorale and Craig Jessup. And I'm sure you're going to have a marvelous weekend again with all the folks coming in to work with you.
I'm thrilled. Can I just say, as I listen to the recordings of the chorale, I'm absolutely blown away. I mean, this is a non-audition choir singing as fine as any highly auditioned choir in this nation. And it could be laid at the feet of Julie Byler and her great, great work as a choral conductor and a voice teacher. It's just excellent, superb work.
You
I'm
are
so
kind.
Proud of her.
You
I
are.
I mean, every word of it, Julie.
Well, it's thank you, and so come back.
She's done it again. She's just done it again, as public as you can possibly get right here.
How about on Friday?
Oh, sure, for sure, on Friday. I'm meeting the plane.
Nicely done. That was deft all around. Well, Craig Jessup, thanks very much for joining us on the program. And Julie, as always, thanks for letting us know about the concert and giving us a chance to talk with Craig. And best of luck with the festival this weekend with the concert Sunday night. It's a busy weekend. I hope you have a crowd.
It is busy. Maybe some of the marathon runners will stop by. I don't know. But thanks again, Kevin. And thank you, Craig, for giving us this time.
Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Julie. I can't wait to be with you this weekend. Thank you.
Likewise.
Stay tuned next for my conversation with the conductor of a much younger ensemble. They're called the Singing Redbirds, kids who are between grades 3 and 6. They're going to be giving a concert tomorrow night at Illinois State University in Normal. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. My next guest on Live and Local is Leah Cruz, who is director of the Singing Redbirds, which is a very young choir that is a program of the Illinois State University Community School for the Arts. She also happens to teach school herself at Sheridan Elementary School, and I believe is in her first year directing this particular chorus. Leah, thanks for joining us on the show.
More than welcome.
Am I correct that this is your first year with this group?
Yes, this is my first year with this group.
But the Redbirds have been around for how long?
I believe this is their fifth year.
And what drew you into this?
Well, I think it's really important that students who have an active interest in singing get another chance to do that outside of school. Students that are interested in band or orchestra instruments are able to do that during school hours. A lot of times students who are interested in singing don't have the opportunity to be involved in a chorus outside of school, so this is a great chance for them to be able to do that.
I should maybe know the answer to this, but I guess I don't, because I assumed it would be different, that there just aren't singing programs, at least in the Bloomington Normal schools?
Elementary school. In elementary school, you are offered typically a general music class where you do sing, but you also play xylophones, rhythm instruments, and things like that. And you're with your entire class. But students that want to be involved in an actual choir don't usually have that opportunity until they're in junior high school.
Aha. So, and probably there are, unlike with instrumental instruments, and that's redundant, isn't it, with instruments, where you can start taking lessons, say, in fourth grade or fifth grade.
Yeah, fifth grade.
They don't actually offer voice lessons.
Right.
So the age range of students for this class is 9 to 12, which is what, grades 3 to 6, I think?
Yeah, approximately grades 3 through 6.
And what does one have to do to get in the group?
Really, you don't have to audition at all. Just to be a part of the group, you have to pay the tuition. And then you also just fill out registration forms, and then you're in the group and you're part of the group. And it's a lot of fun. I think the students really enjoy it.
And how often do they get to practice?
We practice once a week on Thursday nights from 6 o'clock until 7:15. That usually allows us time to warm up, and we always do a singing game or a dance at every rehearsal as well to kind of break up the time so they're not singing the whole time. And they really like that. We have a little chance to interact and get to know each other socially.
So I would imagine that in third grade, voices are really pretty undeveloped, but by sixth grade, kids are at least starting to discover that they have voices.
Right, and in third grade is kind of the time where students typically are starting to work on singing in an actual singing voice. Of course, we encourage them to try to use the singing voice before then, but usually the younger students kind of talk sing or do kind of a yelling type of singing. In third grade, we start to notice students that can really use a nice light singing voice and a nice head voice when they're singing.
How do you get them from one to the other?
It's a lot of vocal modeling, a lot of listen and do what I'm doing. And we talk a lot about the difference between your head voice and your chest voice, the head voice having a much lighter, a lighter tone that comes from a different spot in your voice, and the chest voice coming from kind of deep down low.
What's your own singing background?
I have been involved in, actually I was involved in CICC, which is, I'm not even sure if it still is around. I grew up in the Champaign schools, and Charmaine Bully was the director of Central Illinois Children's Chorus, which
is CICC. They're very definitely still around.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, she was a great influence on me and made me realize that I did want to be a music teacher, in fact. So I've been singing ever since.
Well, if she happens to be listening to this, she's been on the show a number of times, she'll probably be delighted to know that.
Yeah, she was definitely the reason I wanted to become a music teacher to begin with. So,
how long have you been teaching music?
This is my fifth year.
And purely at the grade school level? Because I know so many music teachers hop all over the place, it seems.
Yes, I teach just the elementary schools, yes, but I am a traveling teacher, and typically I have to travel to another school to be full-time, so I'm currently teaching at Stevenson Elementary School also. I teach the developmentally delayed and the behavior disorder classes there, and I really like that because I have, I will have this May, I will have my special ed master's degree, and it gives me a chance to work with students with severe disabilities, so I like that a lot too.
What are some of the challenges of choosing music for a choir of this age range?
I would say that, first of all, the range. You want to be very careful with selecting pieces that are within a comfortable vocal range for them. And also finding pieces that they're interested in and are fun and are engaging and will encourage them to learn about that song. We try to pick a lot of elements out of the song, such as dynamics or rhythms. We try to pick out an element that we're going to teach about the music, you know, to take out those rhythmic components or the melody, so that we can learn music at the same time and that we're having fun and singing together.
So use some of the pieces that are going to be on your concert as an example, maybe, of why you chose these particular songs.
Okay. I chose O Music, which is a round that is written and arranged by Doreen Rao. I chose that specifically for the fact that we worked on diction, so making sure that we're pronouncing our words correctly. correctly so that our audience understands what we're saying. I also chose that one because it's a canon or a round in which one group would start singing before the next group would begin, because I think it encourages students to really understand where their vocal part fits into the whole picture. So that's one of the pieces that we chose for this year.
And what about, for example, you've got a couple, at least a couple of folk songs here, Bought Me a Cat and The Water is Wide.
Yes, both of those are great, great pieces. The Water is Wide, I chose that because we're working on phrasing and using our breath properly. So it's mostly we're focusing on singing technique. I Bought Me a Cat is a folk song that I picked purely because it is a cumulative song where students have to remember one part and then you keep returning to that part as you sing the song. And it's a fun and upbeat tempo song, which I think we need to offer our students a fun, you know, those fun pieces for them to enjoy as well.
Sure, and I'm sure that they, as they get more and more into singing, they'll discover some of the fun and beauty of the less overtly fun, upbeat songs, and they'll find fun and beauty in the really lyrical
ones. Right, so they see that their part is a big part in the whole piece, and that's kind of what we're trying to do.
I'm talking with Leah Cruz, who is director of the Singing Redbirds, which is a group of 3rd through 6th grade singers through the Community School for the Arts at Illinois State University in Normal. They're giving a concert on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in Kemp Recital Hall, on the ISU campus. And the group is currently 10 students, one boy and 9 girls. I'm sure you would like to have more boys.
We would love to have some more boys.
But that seems not probably an uncommon split, but I would imagine that with a group of this age that's relatively small, you're not going to carry an entire concert-length program yourself, so you guys have an opening act.
Right. Actually, this is the first time we have tried this, and being only my first year with the group, I'm not sure everything that was done in the past, but I wanted to do something for the parents and for the students that are involved in it. And so we're having an opening act, the Clef Hangers, which is an a cappella group that ISU is going to be opening for us and then also singing a final number with us.
Oh, really? Well, that ought to be kind of fun. What's the piece they'll be doing together?
We're doing a piece called Bon Se Aba, which is an African piece. And it's a lot of fun. It's very upbeat, and we have some djembes and some shakeres and lots of different instruments that we're going to include in that as well.
Djembe, a particular kind of African drum, somewhat like the congas.
Right, yeah.
Or bongos, their hand drums. And do the kids in your choir get to play any of the drums?
Actually, no. The students, we only have 10, so I'm using them. We need all the singers that we can get in this piece. So they're all singers. And then two of my clinical students from ISU are going to be the drummer.
Well, it sounds like it should be a fun evening. It should be a great experience for the kids both to sing and to experience the older group of students, of college students. And best of luck on this, I guess, which is your first spring concert with
yes.
The Singing Redbirds.
Thank you.
Leah Cruz is their director, and for more information on the group, and if you want to register for next year, I don't know if registration materials are available just yet, but you can certainly find out about them and find out about the school, the Community School for the Arts at ISU. Their web address is fineArts.illinoisstate.edu/community, or you can just Google ISU Community School for the Arts and then you will find them there. The concert starts at 7 in Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus in Normal. And Leah, appreciate your taking the time to talk to us here on Live and Local.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for having us.
Oh,
That's a little bit of the American Boy Choir in music by Zoltan Kodaly. It's called A Dancing Song here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Join us again tomorrow when we will be talking with, I believe, three members of the all-male a cappella choir called Chanticleer. They are going to be at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night. Also, I'll be talking with Henson Keys, who is one of the two actors involved in a concert with the Prairie Ensemble Saturday night. They're presenting all of Mendelssohn's Midsummer Night's Dream. That's happening in Champaign. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features the Corkscrew's Dylan Heath pouring a selection of red and white wines.